Hi, welcome to the live version of the Cloud Cover Show. I'm here with Wade. I'm Steve Marks.
I'm Wade Wegner.
Wade Wegner. We've got some special guests from Umbraco. Yep. Why don't you guys introduce yourself real quickly?
Sure. I'm Niels. I'm the founder of the project.
And I'm Paul, and I work with Niels.
Nice and brief. I like it. So we thought we would... one thing I want to make sure that we, right at the top, explain to people that this is an interactive thing, so you should be going right here on Twitter, send something to the hashtag CH9Live, and that's how you get your questions here, and then we will answer them. You can ask about anything. We won't answer it unless it has something to do with Windows Azure and Umbraco, maybe.
But, or C++.
Or C++.
C++.
All right. Yes, we have a vote. So C++ questions. Ask a really hard C++ question, please.
That's all Niels.
Then we'll do that. But we thought we would do, in this sort of live version of Cloud Cover, we'd do sort of our normal
format,
which is we're going to talk about some of the news, some of the things that here at Mix were just announced about Windows Azure.
Yep.
Then we're going to turn to these guys, and we're going to talk about Umbraco on Windows Azure. That's where, if you guys have questions, I think that would be a good place for us to get those answered. And then what, we're gonna have a tip of the week?
We'll try.
We'll come up with something.
Excellent.
Great.
For that. So what's new?
So there were a number of announcements this morning. Scott Guthrie talked about some new announcements and releases today. So a couple of the things were the ACS, Access Control Service, has been released to production. So the V2 version of the Access Control Service, which was in the lab's environment as a CTP, is now a production service.
And it's free.
And it's free until
January. I think, which is a while. So
yeah, it's a long time.
Try it now.
Yep. And then we also announced that at the end of the month, the caching service will be in production. So that is currently a CTP in labs, and that will be moving into production at the end of the month. So that's pretty exciting.
So some AppFabric stuff that's shipping. What else? We talked about Windows Azure, a couple updates we announced.
Yep.
So Traffic Manager.
So Traffic Manager. So intelligently routing via DNS your users to the closest data center.
Yep.
So if my application sits in North America and somewhere in Asia, depending on where the user is, it will route it intelligently to the closest data center in order to reduce latency.
Yep. So that's very cool. It's sort of like Super CDN for sort of, that's how I think
Super
of it, because it does a similar sort of thing as the CDN does, which is route you to the closest place.
Yep.
But it's not just for routing you to the place that has the content the closest, but
yep.
routing you to the place where you have CPUs running
yep.
that can actually do computation.
Yeah,
so
that's pretty cool.
That's very cool. So that's just been announced.
And speaking of CDN, we also announced...
that was like a segue we did.
Yep, smooth streaming support will be coming.
Okay.
So that's pretty exciting. So I think you've got a blog to look to quite often today on how to do smooth streaming through the CDN, but it will be officially supported.
We'll have.
So that's pretty exciting. And then I think the last thing that I can think of is I think by the end of the day, we will have an update to...
Possibly by now.
The Windows Azure 1.4 SDK.
Right.
And specifically to enable web deploy.
Yep.
So tooling for both via web PI and then through Visual Studio as well. So that's pretty exciting.
All right. Enough about us.
All right.
I want to remind people... Hashtag CH9Live is where you go to send us some questions. But I want to talk about Umbraco because you guys are doing some very cool stuff. People probably saw you guys in the keynote talking about the upcoming Umbraco 5, right? That's a new version. And also this accelerator that that I got to work a little bit with you guys on, which is very cool for running current version of Umbraco in Windows Azure. And I don't know, I just wanted to, I wanted to kind of ask you guys how that's going, what you guys are working on, why, I would like the answer, I can think of lots of reasons why, of why Umbraco 5 is actually building in support for Windows Azure as part of that version, and what does that look like?
So that was a lot of questions. So where do we start? Like
answer all of them in order.
What's coming or what's the reality right now?
I think we should start with what's coming because I think
that's
it's interesting
exciting.
To know kind of where you guys are going with it.
Yeah, so we've been playing with Azure for a while. And for the coming version, as I said in the keynote, Umbraco 5 coming this summer. We sort of had a chance to rework the architecture of Umbraco 5 because we're switching to MVC. So it's sort of the rewrite that you're not allowed to do.
Yeah.
So when we fuck up anyway, we thought that we could just add support for Azure anyway. No, just
while
kidding.
You're in there.
No, but we have a lot of chances to prepare it for cloud computing and to be honest, Azure right now has the most compelling APIs. And you know, when you're .NET developer, the tooling support, everything is just working really, really well. And if you look at where Azure was, say, PDC 08, to where it is right now, I mean, it is, you know, it's moving very fast.
Yeah. And a lot of maturity.
It's not just like a lot of VMs spun up. It's actually like a real deal. So,
and it's
totally fun.
Do you hear from your customers that, I mean, from Umbraco users that they're looking to go to the cloud? Is this is that driven by that, or okay? So that is that's actual customer driven kind of stuff for you guys.
Well, there's a lot of, as I also showed in the keynote, there's a ton of these sites who actually runs on far more servers than they need.
Yeah.
Because as I said, like Davis Cup, you know, there's not, you know, world championship in tennis 365 days a year. But, you know, when you reach the semifinals, traffic gets pretty intense.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So for an organization like that, there's basically no reason to run a ton of servers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a ton of sites that has that challenge.
Yep.
But I also think that cloud has been too much about just scaling. And I think like the Geo thing that was announced today, I don't know.
Yep, the traffic manager.
Yeah, traffic manager.
Yep.
Is a really good example as well. Like it's amazing. So I'm from Europe. It's amazing to see an American company realizing that there's countries outside of America. So we got the same problem. So basically we run a, for instance, we run a hosted TV channel with instruction video on Umbraco. Runs really great in Europe. But totally sucks in the U.S., in Australia. And with Azure, we can move those videos there and serve them like perfectly.
Yeah,
that's an interesting point that you make, because we see that a lot, too, is that cloud as well. It's that elastic thing that lets you deal with unpredictable scale and whatever. And it's easy to forget things like the deployment and maintenance process and features like the traffic manager and CDN and whatever that don't actually have to do with massive scale. They're just features that are generally useful. So it's good to get that validation.
Plus, I mean, it's 15 years since the commercial breakthrough of the web. So why are we still focusing on hosting problems?
Right.
I mean, when is the day where we as developers can just focus on, you know, deploy stuff and it just works? That would be very nice. I mean, what would be next? Like browsers that just work? it would be it's going to be an interesting future, I think.
I want to take one of these questions that have come in from Twitter, because I want to make sure that that we remind people that they can ask their own question at #CH9Live. We got a question about WebDeploy, which is, it's an interesting question. Can you talk a little bit more about WebDeploy? Can we deploy individual websites on the same instance in Windows Azure? And so that's sort of, there are two questions there, because there's one about, can I use WebDeploy to do this sort of thing? And there's one about just what is the capability around multiple websites. You guys actually know that, yes, you can run multiple websites in Windows Azure, because what we were about to get to and we will get back to is sort of the accelerator that exists today to use Umbraco. Specifically with WebDeploy, do you know the answer? I think the answer is that you can use it on multiple websites.
Yeah, because when you use WebDeploy via your web application, you specify the actual name of the site within IIS.
I see.
And so if you have multiple instances, essentially you can specify the appropriate one and deploy to that instance.
Okay.
So.
Okay, so you can use WebDeploy for that. I think it's important, we should remind people that WebDeploy is for single instance development and testing.
Absolutely.
So today the use of that is you're going to deploy one instance of a web role, then you're going to use WebDeploy to kind of test changes against it.
Absolutely.
That being said, it's a great idea to put a bunch of websites in there and do all of your development sort of against that.
And to be
instance.
Clear too, when you're using WebDeploy, you're not updating your underlying, you know, package, the underlying application. When that instance restarts, you know, what
you'll
you
be back
what
to
you've
whatever
deployed
you deployed
is
the
gone.
First time.
Right.
So whatever you deployed to Windows Azure, correct, like the first version of that kind of
comes
website.
Back.
So it's important that it's a great feature, but it's one that can confuse people. So make sure you realize what it's what it's used for.
So it actually deploys to the role instance, not to, say, storage.
Right. It's actually just talking straight to that one VM.
That's useful
It's good for development. Yeah, sure. I mean, if you're developing, you just want to see the effect of a change very quickly.
Got it.
You can use web deploy right to that instance.
Very good.
I want to get this question, but I first want to let you, maybe Paul, you can explain a little about the Umbraco solution accelerator that I think just this morning actually
this
hit
morning.
CodePlex, the new version of that.
Right.
Why don't you tell us a little about that?
Sure. So the Windows Azure Accelerator for Umbraco, which almost the longest name for an open source project on CodePlex right now. I checked, but we're not quite there. So we'll look for a revision. Yeah, we're going
to
do release version 2 or something.
Right.
Ultimate version.
So which is actually pretty compelling, is it takes Umbraco current version, lets you run it in Azure as a native Azure web role on multiple instances. So you can have 2, 4, 8, 20, 80, right, however many you need or want. It does that without requiring any core changes to Umbraco, which is really, really nice.
That is nice.
And it's quite easy to use. And if you come to my session tomorrow, I'll show you. But there's also some videos out there that we've created just to show you how easy it is. And that's essentially it, as Steve knows, because you worked with us on it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we love you.
Yep, it solved. We do love Steve.
Yeah, we want to marry
you. We really do.
Let's stay on that topic, actually. Can you tell me more about your love for me?
But it solves some of the perplexing parts of deploying a traditional, or I'd say a legacy ASP.NET web app to Azure,
right,
around the synchronization of files. And particularly with Umbraco, because we have some files you do sync and some files you don't sync, and the accelerator takes that into account.
I needed to learn that. I didn't know that at the beginning of this, but I think it's interesting. It might be, you know, the way this accelerator works is kind of interesting, and it's really doing synchronization of files through blob storage,
exactly,
I guess how I'd say it. And so, so if something changes on one instance because it's a CMS, right? You went in and you changed something. Some of those changes happen in SQL Azure. Some of those changes actually hit the disk. And the challenge that we had was, how do we make sure that the things that hit the disk hit all the disks and actually make it out to all the instances? It's kind of fun. I think I like what we ended up with. I think we came up with something that's actually fairly simple. Go read the code. It's fairly accessible. It's an interesting kind of project and helps people for current version of Umbraco, while we're all, of course, eagerly awaiting this summer when we get to see Umbraco 5. This means you can go use it now. Which comes to this question that we've gotten from Twitter. See how I did that? That was really smooth.
That was
it's less smooth if you point out how smooth it is, though. I've learned that doesn't go well. So when does it make the most sense for me to leverage Azure with a CMS like Umbraco? And I like the postscript here, PS, go Umbraco. So I think that's good. Thank you. To the Web App Index, who asked this question. What do you guys think? When does it make sense to use... I think the question is really, when does it make sense for me to use Windows Azure if I'm using a CMS? But I think the other question is also interesting, which is just where do these things fit together? Where does it make sense? Where does a CMS help me when I'm just using Windows Azure? What do you think? What are the scenarios that make sense?
You want to answer that? Yeah, I'll do it. Well, internally, we think that using Azure will, you know, save elephants. And that's one reason why you might want to use it.
That's the major elephant.
And if that doesn't do it for you, because you don't like elephants or whatever, let's just say.
All right.
It's also, if you are looking for the things that Azure brings to the table, like resiliency and redundancy, the global presence that you get without having to create it yourself, the way that you can deploy apps to maintain your uptime, sites to maintain your uptime, all of that stuff is solved already in Azure. Trying to do that on a traditional host, while it's not impossible, is not nearly as straightforward.
Right.
And there have to be other processes in place. And the one thing that we like about the accelerator, and of course we love that it's the Umbraco accelerator, the code in there, the synchronization code, can really be used for any other app as well that can run in that sort of load-balanced environment. Deploying your Umbraco site to Azure has to do with, if you want a site that's performant, that's going to be highly reliable in terms of being available, and is going to have the ability to scale up elastically, as well as being globally sort of available via CDN or even using the traffic manager DNS redirection. There's a lot of, that's a mouthful, but that's a lot of stuff that you get, and you don't you don't pay for all of that setup. You're not right. paying to go to some big CDN host to host your gigs of video.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I mean, in some way, what you said is, well, all the benefits you get from Windows Azure, and there are a lot of those,
yep.
right? You might still you want those when you're building your site using a CMS like Umbraco. There's no reason why you wouldn't want all those things. The good news is you can get them,
sure.
And so it makes sense to put those together. Is there a minimum recommended compute instance size for Umbraco on Azure? What do you think?
Well, we don't have really deep experience yet. But for most sites, extra small is good. Small is better.
Yeah.
And if you have a high traffic site, obviously the medium instance, those might be arbitrary names, but medium is two cores, right?
Two cores. Yep.
Which is what we're running now. We see really, really good performance. And so we're actually using more, we have more of an Azure instance spun up than we need to. We could easily run it on a small
yeah.
and just scale up. Well, it's probably a good idea to scale up for mix.
My advice to people is usually, because part of this question is, when should I get a bigger instance size versus when should I just add more instances? Because
yep.
that also plays in here. And my advice is usually to go to small. If you start at extra small, go at least to small before you start doing actual scale out. Like once you need the scale, first go to small, because small has guaranteed dedicated resources, while extra small is sort of a shared thing. And so it's not as predictable in performance and whatever. It might be very good. In fact, it might sometimes be better than what you
sure.
expect to get out of an extra small. But without that predictability, go to a small first. You get guaranteed resources. And then there's this classic, do I scale up or do I scale out? And you can go either way.
Right.
It's interesting to get your data point on that, that medium seems to work well.
It works.
I think
great.
It's an experimentation thing.
Yeah,
I think
cool.
everyone should. It depends on what the site's doing and whatever. The Umbraco code and the accelerator run fine in extra small,
yeah.
but it depends on your traffic and what that load looks like, how much memory you need for time.
Yeah,
right.
the amount of data you got.
Right.
I mean, it's a bit like saying how much of a dedicated server do I need to run Umbraco? I mean,
right.
it totally depends on the type of site, traffic, amount of data, etc.
Agreed. So the last thing I have around that particular question is, by default in the accelerator, you get two role instances, which is what's recommended for
yes.
Azure
yeah.
SLA,
good
right?
Point. Yeah.
So that's kind of the minimum. So you're starting out with that anyways, and that's for the...
Two extra smalls, right?
Two extra smalls, yeah.
Right.
And we had better experience going right to small as well. It might have been that shared. It might have been a bug in the code. I don't know if there were any bugs, Steve, in the code.
No,
but
not in the code. No.
Okay,
of course.
Yeah.
But
probably,
but some other
probably
people
small
did.
Then.
It wasn't just me.
Okay.
So, there could be some things.
So,
yeah. great. The Web App Index asks another question. Does Razor make it easier?
We also got a session tomorrow here at Mix, and it happened to be recorded, so we're gonna have even more videos. I'm doing a talk tomorrow.
That one was a setup, wasn't it? That question was
yeah,
just a little too
them,
easy.
I gotta give them their money back.
Yeah.
where's those C++ questions?
But if people go to live.visitmix.com, where you all are right now watching this, go look around, and all the videos of the breakout sessions or whatever are going to be up there soon. I don't know exactly what. I don't want to overcommit anybody. So there you can go check out that stuff, and you can see exactly
yeah.
how it's done. Jay Bostwick asks a question. As a student, can I learn Azure? I have access to DreamSpark, or should I just learn MVC as a web dev? You should also learn about Windows Azure. I don't know the answer to. Do we have
Spark?
Something in DreamSpark today?
I don't know
the answer. Why did we even take that question? We could have just pretended it wasn't there, and instead we made fools of ourselves like that.
Mm-hmm.
I would check out DreamSpark because you have access to DreamSpark.
Yeah, there's probably
I would
information
also go,
somewhere there.
You could get a 30-day free pass by going
to the Windows Azure Pass.
WindowsAzurePass.com.
Yep.
And you can even put in cloud
yep.
cover.
In
is
the
cloud
promo
cover?
Code, put
or
in
cloud,
cloud cover. Cloud cover.
Really free. If you put in somebody else's code, it's just kind of free. But for us, it's yeah. extra special. So you can do that, and that's also a good way to do that. Yep. Let me remind people who haven't asked their question yet that you still have a little bit of time to ask us at #CH9Live.
So I've got a question for you. So the Access Control Service.
You have to say it with this hashtag, though.
Okay. So the Access Control Service went into production today, and I think you guys have been doing some work around the Access Control Service as well. Can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. So essentially, we participated in kind of, I would say, the design of the Umbraco extension, which is the. And if everything goes well, the stars align and all of that, it will be in the support for that will be in a future version of Umbraco Core.
That's great. So can you describe a little bit about what the extension does? Some folks may not be familiar with.
Right. What the extension does is it lets you use ACS to use federated identity services, like you might think of one like Facebook, for example.
Yep.
I don't have a Facebook account, but I know people. Some of my best friends do.
There's a few people that have Facebook accounts.
Okay.
A couple, yeah. So. Site in place of, say, ASP.NET membership.
Yep.
And what the ACS extension does is it actually wires up the Umbraco, we call it a section, the member section, so that when you're editing members in the section, you're actually calling the REST endpoints for the particular ACS service that you've configured. Sure. So it's quite transparent. You, as an Umbraco admin, working with members, you wouldn't know you were working with ACS. It looks like you're working with Umbraco members, and that was the whole idea behind it.
That's
so
great.
It's quite good. It's also an open sourced, released on CodePlex extension. So.
Yep, awesome.
Oh, we got a tweeted question from Syntax C4, better known as the Corey we failed over to.
Corey number two.
Corey number two.
Corey Fowler.
Corey Fowler, who's one of our one of the Windows Azure MVPs and a friend of the show. We only say that about like pretty much him, so that actually means something. He wants to know if we will see support for the Windows Azure tools on IIS Express in the near future. I have no idea.
Yep, no idea as well.
And so this, yet another question that we didn't really ask.
And I've seen Corey asking this question a lot. He's asked it on Twitter and some other places as
really?
Well. So
oh.
I think he's really interested in the answer.
Now I'm never going to tell him.
What happens if you say no? Is that an answer?
Then he becomes an enemy of,
enemy of the show.
Enemy of the show. Oh, we've had enemies of the show before. It's not pleasant. It's actually quite pleasant. But no, I don't. I honestly don't know Corey.
We can dig around.
I seem to remember talk when IIS Express first came out about Windows Azure integration there to basically use, instead of IIS, full IIS, use IIS Express.
And IIS Express works in Windows XP as well, right?
I believe it does.
So that might.
I think that's one of the reasons why this question comes up.
Does that expand development to
Windows XP? Anyway, we don't know.
Yep.
Corey. I mean, come on. You're an MVP. You can do that sort of thing.
Or you're not an MVP next year.
Yeah.
There you go, man.
The threats come out already. Okay, what else should we be talking about?
Do we want to end? We got a few more minutes. Should we move to the tip of the week?
Do we have a tip of the week?
Well, I think you Niels mentioned that you'd have a C++
tip of the
week.
We need a tip about C++.
Oh, excellent.
No, that coffee you asked for, I'm just going to... No,
something about templates in C++. How about that? We'll help you.
Actually, he may be saved. We do have one more question.
Oh, we have one more question. Okay, but this is a tip. Our answer to this is a tip. Can you speak to security in the Umbraco /Azure? So, you know, in this accelerator, many issues with other CMSs, always needing to patch them to keep them up.
So patching the application to... keep up with security.
Right. So I think the question is about like, well, what if I have to patch Umbraco itself?
Yeah,
I guess there's also the question of what if I have to
patch the OS,
the Windows OS and Windows Azure. I can answer that part, which is that you can turn on the auto OS updates, and then we will take care of that part for you. Or you can do it manually, in which case you choose when to take those ones.
Mm-hmm.
For the Umbraco part, what is the answer to that?
Sure. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, it will notify you if there's updates, and then you can just deploy them.
Yeah.
If there's important, crucial updates to Umbraco, there will be like a little speech bubble in the admin area. And when you install, if you sign up for the security newsletter, you will get an email.
And so then the synchronization across all the instances will manage that so that all your instances are updated?
Exactly. So you can, if it's a file update, say in a new assembly, you literally copy it to your storage location, and then the synchronization makes sure it gets put on the running instances. Or you can do an Azure-type staging deploy and then do the swap with production if it's a larger deal. So a couple options there, both of which are supported and work really well.
Yeah, one of the nice things about, I guess, Umbraco in general, but Umbraco with this accelerator too, is that the actual Umbraco part of your site is just your site, right? Yep. I mean, this is sort of, there isn't a separation here like with like a .NET version versus my code where you've got to service those things independently. You've actually, your site has Umbraco with it. That's part of what your site is that you're deploying, which means you get to make fairly easy edits to any of those components, whether it's your code that you wrote or your content or things like that, or if it's actually the Umbraco bits. And there's no heavy install of Umbraco is really nice this way. You just sort of put it there on the box and it runs, and so that actually makes that story quite
Thanks
nice.
Thanks to your wonderful work. I mean, Steve, we love you.
Of course it's all due to me. Everything great about Umbraco somehow has to do with me. I'm convinced.
I think you should run for president.
Okay. No. I will seriously consider that. I almost forgot. Can you tell people about the shirt that you're wearing? Because I heard questions during the keynote about it.
It's Nils Love Steve in 26 languages. it's the 20 people who are organizations who helped with Umbraco in the beginning, the very rough start. They were like going on stage, giving credit to all the people who are helping the project.
Good.
So credit where due.
That's great. Yep. All right, I think with that, we are just about out of time. So until next time, of course, if you want to follow the Cloud Cover Show, now we've got to plug our stuff, you can go to channel9.msdn.com/show/cloud+cover. Why not give the whole URL like that? And then, or you can tweet to us at Cloud Cover Show. We love to hear from that. And of course, you can go to the Umbraco website, get all this stuff, go check out the CodePlex project, some super long name that I don't remember anymore.
Yeah, but just go to umbraco.com/Azure.
Oh, that's awesome. Brilliant. Yeah. Umbraco.com/Azure and pick up all this stuff. Thanks so much for coming on the show, guys.
Thank you
for being here. It was fantastic.
Thank you. We love you, Steve.